you're listening to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Today we're studying 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 through 5. Now we want to say that in these books of 1 and 2 Peter, that there are many topics that he writes about. And it's going to be slower going through the book of Peter because we want to go into depth in some of the topics that he has. In today's lesson, the topics are, in verse 2, it speaks of sanctification by the Spirit and blood of Jesus. In verse 3, Peter tells us that God has begotten us again. He talks about a lively hope. Verse 4, he talks about an inheritance. And in verse 5, he talks about kept, being kept. And all throughout these five verses, we'll be talking about the blessings of God. Let's read 1 Peter 1, 1 through 5. In the King James Version, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter is writing this letter to believers in Rome and even throughout Asia Minor. It was written between 63 A.D. and 67 A.D. 1 and 2 Peter is the only letters that the Apostle Peter wrote, and he was to be martyred soon after writing these epistles. In the opening of this letter, he gives a blessing to God because of his Son Jesus Christ that he has sent for our salvation. We want to bless the Lord because of his abundant mercy. And all the blessings that he has given to us is according to his mercy, because we do not merit grace. We do not merit salvation. And he's begotten us again. So this deserves our thanks to God, because he created us again, a new creature. He created us once in the Garden of Eden when he created man. Man fell. He had to redo his creation. And that's what happens when we're born again. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate to have to go back over something I've already done. If I'm sewing on a dress and I make a mistake and I have to rip out all of the stitching and I have to start all over so that it all won't be wasted, it's really a pain. You hate to do things over. It's worse doing it over than it was the first time. I wonder if the Lord feels that way about us. I've already done this once. Now I have to do it again. But you see, with God and his mercy that we are thankful for and his grace, he can do all things. He can make us just as pure and holy as he did in the beginning, in our soul. His Spirit sanctifies our heart and mind, then we can have hope. We can have a lively hope, which is compared to a living stone that is durable. It's a solid foundation based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, when he's remolding us and remaking us as a potter with a piece of clay, our condition is never so bad that he abandons his handiwork. In verse 5, it says we're kept. When we commit things to the Father, he is able to keep us, no matter how bad it seems that we've gotten ourselves into. And we must admit many of the things that happened to us, we created a lot of it. We create things to worry about, and if we don't have anything to worry about, we wonder why we don't have anything to worry about. God doesn't want us to worry. He wants us to be anxious about nothing. And that goes for our salvation too, because his power is great enough to carry us through. He knows that we are made of dust. He knows that we are not God. We may feel like sometimes we have it all together, but then in a short time we find out we didn't. God can still bless us in all things. He helps us in spite of difficulties. Now notice in our prayers and praises to God, in our blessing to God, we refer to him as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it's only through him that we can bless the Father. We can bless him without the Lord Jesus Christ, but we bless him more because of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the good in the world comes from God's mercy, and we bless him for it. Sanctification and regeneration brings a lively hope. Now we want to discuss what is sanctification. Sanctification is the cleansing of the heart and the mind, which is part of the carnal human nature. It doesn't take away our human nature, but it cleanses the things that are coming out of our heart because of the human nature. So it's a sanctification of the heart, which will bring forth good things. And we know, naturally, the heart does not bring forth good things, because Jesus told us all of the things the heart brings forth, which is murders, adultery, blasphemy, all kinds of things the heart produces, because it doesn't want to obey God. It can't be tamed. God's not giving up on man's heart just because it produces evil thoughts, but he's sanctifying the heart and cleansing the heart and feeding the heart with spiritual things whenever we read our Bible, we pray, and we seek God. Then the Spirit can cleanse our thoughts. David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord." And that's what sanctification does. The sanctification of the heart is much like the bathing of the body. We may shower in the morning, but before bedtime, it's time for another, because of all the contaminants of the world that we pick up during the day. How many times have you heard someone say after a shower, "I feel like a new person"? That's the way sanctification works, except that we are cleansed on a continuous basis, not twice a day. The sanctifying of the heart and mind is putting on Christ, resisting evil, so it's done in the joint efforts of ourselves and by the Holy Spirit. Peter also says it's done by the blood of Jesus Christ, the sprinkling of the blood. Now, Peter is from the Jewish religion. He's been in the temple and he has seen the priests sprinkle the blood of the animals for cleansing. So he understands the sprinkling of blood, and he is symbolizing that with the blood of Jesus Christ when he died on Calvary. In Numbers 19:9, the sprinkling of the blood is for cleansing and to bring that person under the blessings. So we're talking quite a bit about blessings today. Not only do we bless God, but He blesses us, doesn't He, by cleansing us. We want to discuss a little bit about this doctrine of sanctification. Webster's dictionary says to sanctify is to free from sin through purification. It means to set apart for sacred purposes. So it's the cleansing of something that is not holy on its own, but it is made holy because of the cleansing. Now we know that we can't leave our heart unattended. We can't just go with all the thoughts that our heart produces, because it will lead us in an opposite direction from God. So it can't be unattended, it can't be unsupervised, because it can bring forth much evil, even in the born again. So we must be sanctified daily. It's a daily walk, a daily warfare that we are warned about in many scriptures. And so we must be diligent to guard our heart, it says. Now I want to give you a list of the things that we are sanctified by that Scripture tells us. We're sanctified by the Father, it says in John 10:36, by the Spirit of God in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, by the blood of Jesus in what we're reading today, 1 Peter 1:2, Hebrews 9:13, and 10:10. We're sanctified by the Word, which is truth, that's in John 17:17, and Ephesians 5:26. We're sanctified by the Word and prayer, found in 1 Timothy 4:5. We're also sanctified by faith, Acts 26:18. We're sanctified by the Holy Ghost, in Romans 15:16. We're sanctified by the will of God, in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, Hebrews 10:9-10. It also says that we ourselves are sanctified through our holy living. He tells us to sanctify ourselves. Now, many want to say, well, that's going down and buying a long sleeve dress that goes down to my ankles and let my hair grow out and all the outward things. He wants us to dress modestly. But sanctifying ourselves is to guard this heart and to guard the thoughts of our mind and reject those thoughts that exalt themselves against the things of God. That's sanctifying ourselves. We can't expect God to do everything for us. Jesus is not asking us to do something that He didn't do Himself. It says in John 17:19 that Jesus sanctified Himself. So we're not above our Master. We need to discipline ourselves as well in the way we live. We are also sanctified by having a companion that lives for God. A believing husband or wife sanctifies us, it says. Why and how? They encourage us to do what is right, don't they? We're also sanctified by righteousness. There's two kinds of righteousness. There's the righteousness that is Jesus that will justify us before God. Then there's righteous deeds that we do. Scripture refers to as righteousness. So we can do works of righteousness, feed the poor, help the widow, be compassionate to the sinner. We can do those things of righteousness. But the righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ is what He gives us. We can't obtain that by good deeds. He has to give it to us, and He will. We're also sanctified by the blood of the covenant. He's talking about the covenant that He had with Abraham that resulted in the birth of Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, it's a covenant that goes that far back that is sealed with blood. And we are sanctified because of the covenant God made with Abraham. It has been passed down to us. That's in Hebrews 10:29. Now we ask the question, we said that sanctification is for the heart. So we ask, how is the soul of man sanctified? Is our soul sanctified in the same way as our heart is sanctified? Because we named off many things, didn't we, of how the heart is sanctified. But the soul does not have need for sanctification because it's made holy when we are born again. The soul is made holy at the new birth because the Spirit of Christ sets up his throne in the soul at that time. There's no daily cleansing. He lives there, and he is holy. So no additional works of sanctification or rituals can add to the atonement of the soul that's made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. The soul is not cleansed by the doctrine of sanctification because it's already holy in the believer. Now we're talking about the believer. When we're born again, we're talking about the soul, not the heart of man. The soul cannot be partially cleansed and partially made holy. Some teach that in a subtle way. They are not recognizing that the soul is the throne room of whatever kingdom you and I serve. Our soul is either holy or defiled, depending upon whether we have accepted Jesus as our Savior or not. Now we know that we can become defiled again. Some are teaching that we can't become defiled again after we're born again. We can be so caught up with bitterness, Paul said in Hebrews 12:15, that it can defile the soul once again. We have to repent and get rid of bitterness because it puts the soul in jeopardy. Now the soul cannot be tempted with sin because it's sealed by the Holy Spirit when we're born again. That's in Ephesians 1:13. But on the other hand, the heart can bring forth thoughts to commit sin. Therefore, the heart and mind need sanctification because they are carnal and capable of sinning. The heart will never be made holy as the soul is, but it can only be cleansed in sanctification. There are scriptures that talks about the heart being cleansed, and many think that's where salvation is, in the heart, because in Romans 10, Paul said, believe with all your heart. But we're not saved in our heart when we're born again. It's not a one-time cleansing. It has to be attended to daily. When we leave this earth and we receive a new body, we'll be free from that carnal heart that wants to sin, because God will give us a new heart, a new body that will be free from temptation. But for now, we have to depend upon the doctrine of sanctification to work in us as we allow it by our spirit. We allow the Spirit of Christ by our willing spirit. And it's a process that takes place over the life of the believer. And for as long as he's on this earth, we will have to be sanctified by all the things that I read to you. But it all depends upon our willing spirit. I want to give you some definitions of sanctification. The words sanctify and sanctified are mentioned in both the Old and the New Testament. But sanctification is a New Testament word that's mentioned only 5 times. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Also in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." In 1 Peter 1:2, which is our verse that we're studying today, it says, "The elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." Now we want to discuss inheritance, which is in verse 4. Verse 4 of 1 Peter 1, he said, "We've been called to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, that's reserved in heaven for you." It's an inheritance that's reserved for us in heaven. You didn't know that Jesus had made reservations for you in heaven so that he can give you many things, did you? I hadn't thought about that. You know, you can make reservations, but your flight can be canceled. This is an uncancelable reservation. It's waiting for you, an inheritance. There are many blessings that we aren't aware of yet. We have an inheritance in heaven waiting for us, but there are many who want their inheritance now on this earth. They're not looking to the quality things that God has for them in heaven. They look at Jesus as a rich relative, and they're living off of him now and hope to receive a greater inheritance later. They're making money off the gospel. They're fleecing the sheep off the gospel. They look at Jesus as a gimme. And they have many gimmicks in the things that they do. But the things that Jesus has reserved for us are quality things, not money. There was a minister who preached the doctrine of money in his church. Some of you may know who I'm speaking about. He's no longer with us. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But he preached about money. He tickled the ears of the congregation because they wanted money, prestige, and prosperity. He made no pretense that money was why he was serving God. It is said that in his congregation, he had a large sign that was a $10,000 bill that had Grover Cleveland's picture on it. I've never seen a $10,000 bill, so I can't tell you if Grover Cleveland's picture's on it or not. But he had that displayed in his church. He also misquoted many scriptures. He changed the scripture that says the love of money is the root of all evil to say it's not the love of money, but rather the lack of it. He pointed his congregation to money. In one sermon, he said they could have so much money that they could swim in it in a swimming pool. And he said, "Money up to your armpits, a room full of money, and there you are, just tossing around in money in a swimming pool." He also had prayer lines. One was $10,000, and he preached that the $10,000 prayer line is a guarantee. That was his preaching. And there were people lined up in that line. Now, that's according to some reports on television. And there were other prayer lines, probably 5,000, probably 1,000. I'm sure he didn't have a dollar line for prayer. He was out for money, and he told the congregation, "Don't bring change, just bills." How was the congregation able to put up with such tactics? Because they were out for money also. When John F. Kennedy became president of the United States, he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country." I believe we've lost that vision in our society. It's even in our churches. We've lost the vision for the gospel when we preach prosperity. It takes away from the blessings that God has in store for us because we say we want it now. We are having more and more shysters and master manipulators who fleece the congregations. They leave them deep in debt with no intention of helping them out of that money pit. They give a few crumbs of the gospel message, but if you look at it closely and examine it, it has motives for prosperity. Well, some Christians are like that, aren't they? Some believers are so in debt because they want prosperity that they are just 90 days from being in the street if they can't make their mortgage payments. God wants us to be responsible in our finances. He doesn't want us to worship money, prestige, and prosperity. He will bless us, but He never promised us the things that are being preached today to many congregations. We should not be unwise in our service to God so that we will be able to pay our debts, which the Lord wants us to do. In verse 5 it says, "We're kept through the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Not only is God protecting our inheritance, He's protecting our salvation as well. Because we have a lively hope in Jesus Christ, we will obtain eternal life and the righteousness that is laid up for us. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, I am thankful for Your Word, things that sanctify us and keep us. And I'm thankful for Your power that is able to keep all things that we commit into Your hands. I pray, Lord, that You would strengthen us, sanctify us that we may work for You and that we may accomplish what You want us to do. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word. It's a heavenly place, and He's living.